Amen. Thank you, men. I appreciate that, and what a great blessing. Let's take the Word of God this morning. We will go to the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14. In just a moment, I want to begin in verse number 25, and I have been waiting to preach this message, and I'm asking God to do something very special this morning in our hearts. And I want to ask you a question, which is the title to this message. And the question is this: are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a disciple? You say, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian this morning. I know Jesus as my Savior. Wonderful. But just because you're a Christian does not mean that you're a disciple. You say, what is a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. It is a Christian who is following after the Lord. It is a Christian who is saying, Jesus is my Lord and Master, and I will do what He has given me to do with my life. And by the way, I think as we study this passage in Luke chapter 14, we're going to have to answer that question in our hearts and minds. I must answer the question, am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? You see, many people come to know the Lord. We're thankful for that. But there are few, and I don't mean just a handful. I'm talking about there are a limited number of Christians that are true disciples of Jesus Christ. They are following after the Lord. You know, I remember growing up in a good home and a good gospel preaching church, Bible believing church, a pastor who preached the Word of God. But there were many people that I knew growing up. They came to church faithfully. They knew the Lord as their Savior. But they were not followers of Jesus Christ. They were not disciples. Oh, yes, they were believers. They knew what the Bible taught. They had put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But God desires for all of us here this morning to be true followers of Him. Are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, we come to a great passage of Scripture, but I want to warn you now. It is a passage that many people misinterpret. In fact, Luke chapter 14, as we begin in verse 25 here in just a moment, I don't know if there's any more misunderstood passage in all of the Bible. So let us look at it in its context, and let us answer the question, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Luke chapter number 14, we begin in verse number 25. The Bible says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. Now let me stop. Here is Jesus. And by the way, there were lots of people that followed after him, but just because they were in his presence did not mean they were true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus stopped and he turned back to all of these people and he preached to them. And this is what he preached. Look what it says in verse 26 of Luke 14. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now let me stop and say this to you. If I'd have known about that verse when I was younger with my sisters, I would have quoted it to them often, you know? But that's not what that's meaning. And I want to explain it here this morning. Can you imagine Jesus speaking this, preaching this to the people? What does he mean by this? Let's read on, verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, would you underline in verse 26 at the very end where it says, he cannot be my disciple? And would you underline again in verse 27, cannot be my disciple? Let's read on, verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Would you underline that phrase? Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Look in chapter 15 and verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured and saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, folks, this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ desires for each and every one of you, no matter what you've gone through in life, no matter your condition right now, He wants, number one, for you to be a believer, for you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But the Lord wants all of us to take that next step, not just for pastors or missionaries or Christian school teachers or deacons or all of that. Yes, that's true, but God wants all of us to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you really a follower this morning? Well, I want you to notice these passages and these verses, which really, when Jesus says what he says here, it rings in my heart. At the end of verse 26, he says, he cannot be my disciple. In verse 27, cannot be my disciple. In verse 33, he cannot be my disciple. I wonder this morning, if you were to come to God, and if you were to say to him, Lord, am I your disciple? Am I your follower? And if you were to even say, Lord, I want to be your disciple, I wonder, would the Lord say, yes, yes, I see that you have a heart for me, and you have met the conditions to be my disciple. Or I wonder if God would say to you and me, sorry, you cannot be my disciple. That doesn't mean that the Lord is not saying he doesn't want you to be his disciple. Here he doesn't desire for you to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But because of decisions and choices and because of our lifestyle, he is saying you cannot be my disciple. You see, many people who name the name of Jesus Christ, oh, they may be Christians, but it doesn't mean that they are disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the hardest things for me when I went to Bible college was that I found something to be true, that there were lots of Christians there in Bible college, but there were not many disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. We have a Christian school here, and I thank God for our school, and I want you to pray for our school and pray that God would raise up a generation of laborers to go out of our Christian school to follow Jesus Christ. But you know something? Just because kids name the name of Jesus Christ does not mean that they are disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. Number one this morning, I'm going to give you some very simple things. I pray that God can help us. There is the must of discipleship. Do you know this morning, if you're going to be a disciple, there is the must of discipleship, meaning there is something that you have to understand today. You cannot be his disciple unless you meet the conditions that the Lord has set in his word. Now, just for a moment, let's take our Bibles and go over to the gospel according to John. John chapter number 8. If you'll just turn there, and then we'll turn right back to Luke chapter number 14. John chapter number 8. And I want us to look in verse number 29. John 8 and verse 29, and I want to show you this. All throughout the Bible, the Lord is very clear about discipleship. Now, you know something? So often we think discipleship is what we do for someone that has come to know Christ as their Savior. And by the way, I think it's very important that we get new believers grounded in the Bible, going to the house of God, spending time in prayer. They are growing in their Christian life. But you know what discipleship is? It's day by day following Jesus Christ. It is day by day saying, Lord, I will be your disciple. Now please help me and please listen to me this morning. I love you as your pastor. I care for you greatly. I pray for you by name. And this week Tuesday I was able to go pick up my daughter from college. She had a fall break and it's 4 hours there and 4 hours back in the same day. And boy, you're driving down the road. But I had some time to spend with the Lord as I do every day. But I had some extra time to pray and talk to God. Boy, it was a sweet time in the car with the Lord. Praying for you, praying for our church, praying for God's direction and leading, and praying for the Lord's increase, all of those different things. But I want you to hear me out today. I love you, I care for you, but there are some here that you are not followers of Jesus Christ. I don't know who you are, but the Lord knows who you are. The Lord knows in this building, if Jesus were to walk in here today, I believe that Jesus could stand here and He could look out and He could say, yes, they are a follower, but they are not a follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, do you know that so often in the Bible, when Jesus was preaching, that there were some times when He would preach to such an extent to where some people would walk away from Jesus and never follow Him again? Do you know that some Christians have done that in their life? They have come to some hardship, maybe to some trial in their life, to where, in a sense, they turn their back on God. Oh, they may still go to church and they may still read the Bible and they may still pray and they may still act like a Christian. They may be identified with Jesus Christ, but they are not following Him with their whole heart. And look what the Bible says in John chapter number 8, and look what it says in verse 29. It says, "And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." Jesus is speaking about His submission to His Heavenly Father. And then He said this in verse 30 of John chapter 8. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Wonderful. Praise God. But then it says in verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." Boy, I want you to look at that little phrase. Then are you My disciples indeed. You see, there are many Christians that are not disciples indeed because they have not continued in the Word of God. They are not hiding the Word of God in their heart. They are not obeying the Word of God. They are not hearing the Word of God preached. They are not continuing in the Word of God. And I believe that is a mark. That is a must of discipleship, is that we continue in the Word. Listen, what you do with the Word of God today is what you do with God. Your attitude towards the Bible is your attitude toward God. If we love His Word, we read His Word, we study His Word, we hide the Word of God in our heart, then it is a sign that we are a true follower of Jesus Christ. The must of discipleship. Now go back, if you would please, to Luke chapter number 14. Now let me ask you something. Have you ever read this verse back in Luke chapter 14 where it says, and I'm going to read it to you again as you turn back there, Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. Now let's just take this for what it says. If any man come to me. Now the ideal, Jesus is saying, if you want to really follow me, now think about it, all right? The context of this is there's all kinds of people thronging and following Jesus. So He stops and He says, I'm going to tell you something. If you really want to follow me, here are the conditions. He says in verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, how many has ever read that verse and you've kind of wondered what that really meant? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Very good. I remember reading that when I first came to know the Lord as my Savior, and I thought to myself, God, hate? We are to hate our dad, our mom, our sisters. Lord, I could do that, but what about, is that really what you're saying? Some commentators have said that the word hate here means that we are to love the Lord so much that it appears to be hatred compared to our love for Christ. But I do not believe that that is what this is saying. The ideal, the emphasis that Jesus is placing here in His Word is this. By the way, what more noble and blessed of God and more precious relationship than our families? Hey, look, the Lord is the one who established the home. Listen, God created mom and dad and children in a home. That's God's design. It is precious. It is wonderful. And all of us dads and moms, we are to love our children. And what more blessed relationship than a husband and wife who are faithful together. And we are to love, men, our wives. That's what the Bible commands us to do. And women are to love their husbands and submit to the leadership of their husbands. What is more precious and more valuable than a family and than a husband and wife? And think about our relationship with our family members. God says it is so wonderful. But the ideal here of what Christ is meaning is this. Any time in life that there comes a conflict between father and mother, brother and sister, son or daughter, and a conflict with any of these, and Christ, Jesus Christ, must be chosen. The ideal here is if we have a decision on whether we are going to follow Jesus and do what He has commanded us to do with our life, or we are going to follow our family and we are going to cave in to the wants and the wishes of our family members, we must choose Jesus Christ. I remember years ago hearing the story about a young lady whom God had put in her heart to be a missionary. She knew it. God had called her. And with a calling comes a calling to prepare, a calling to follow Christ is a calling to prepare. And she was going to go off to Bible college to prepare to follow Jesus Christ. Well, she had family members. She had a dad in particular. Oh, he was a believer. But he did not want to lose his daughter. And by the way, I understand all about that, you know. Dropping my daughter off again this week, I thought, this isn't getting easier, you know. It's getting worse, in fact. But the dad loved his daughter. I believe he loved her. And he said to her, he said, honey, look, listen. You can stay here. You can serve in the local church here. There's nothing wrong with that. But honey, please, don't go. Don't go to college. In fact, he pressured her and he put so much pressure upon her that the girl yielded to what the dad had to say. And that girl was miserable the rest of her life. Can I tell you why? Because she would not be the disciple of Jesus Christ. You see, no doubt she loved her father. No doubt she wanted to be near her dad. But the decision, when there was a conflict, and there was a conflict, she was either going to follow Jesus, she was going to follow Christ, or she was going to follow her parents. Can I tell you something? Did she love her dad? Yes. There was no hatred there. No. But was she a real follower of Jesus Christ? No. You see, throughout life, there will be times and there will be decisions that must be made. And when the decision in our hearts is whether we're going to follow Jesus with all of our hearts or whether we are going to yield to the wishes and the wants of our family or of our friends or what they have thoughts for our lives, we must follow Jesus Christ. It is Christ and Christ alone that we must look to. Look here, I'll tell you this. I remember the day that I knew that God had called me to be a preacher. And you know something? My thought about being a preacher was staying in Knoxville, Tennessee to be a preacher, you know? That sounded good to me. And that was where I was born and raised. And I really had not lived anywhere else except for Kentucky for a few years. But you know something? I remember the day when I gave my life to Christ, I said, Lord, do whatever you want to with me. And if that means leaving my own place, Lord, I'll do it. I'll never forget the day that my wife and I, we'd just been married 3 months. We loaded up in a moving truck. And I remember we put all of our stuff in there. There wasn't a whole lot of it, you know. You get started out, there's just a few boxes and a little things. And we put it all in there. It took us just a few minutes to load it up. And I remember looking at my dad and my mom. Boy, I was close to my dad. Still am. Still enjoy spending time with him. And he called me yesterday and left me a message. Said, son, just want you to know, Tennessee won. It's a miracle of God, all right? That's all he left me, you know. And I'm like, all right, Dad, good, you know. But boy, I was close to my dad. And I remember crawling into that truck and looking at my dad at the window. Boy, tears rolling down his eyes, him and my mom both. And I thought to myself, this is hard. This is hard to leave everything I know. It's hard to leave my home church. It's hard to do that. But you know something? At that moment, the decision had already been made. I must follow Jesus. I must do what He has given me to do. And if that means to leave houses and lands and leave family members, then the decision has to be made. And folk, the must of discipleship is that we must follow Christ. It is Jesus that we are seeking after. It is His will. It is His desire for our life. That's what Jesus was saying. Think of it. He's looking at all those people. And He's saying, you want to really follow me? You want to really be my disciple? Then if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I wonder today, are you not the disciple of Jesus Christ? Because you are yielding to the wants and wishes of your family members? Oh, listen, you love them. Yes, God wants you to love them. You care for them. Yes, God wants you to care for them. Yes, God wants you to spend time with them. And listen, this doesn't mean that we are to give our families to the devil and neglect our homes and neglect our marriages. This is not what this is saying. But it means this. It must mean that we are going to follow Jesus above everything in our life. Years ago, the story is told about Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He was not married at the time, but he was dating soon-to-be Mrs. Spurgeon. Now think of this. He had taken her to a preaching meeting where he was going to be preaching. Now they were not married yet. And he preached and all of that, and she was there listening. And at the end, and he met with people and all of that, he left the building without her. And went on his way. And I will say this. She said in a book, she's told someone, she recognized at that moment that Jesus Christ would be number one to Charles Haddon Spurgeon. She understood that she was always going to have to take a second place to her husband. You know why? Because Mr. Spurgeon was a disciple of Jesus Christ. He was a follower of Jesus Christ. Parents, can I tell you this? And I mean this with the best way I know how. Listen, I know what it is to love children. We love our kids. I thank God for them. But I'm going to tell you something. If you are standing in the way of your children following Jesus Christ, you are hindering your kids from being a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you're allowing things in your lives of your children to keep you from following Jesus Christ, you are not a disciple. You are not a true follower of Jesus Christ. It should be known. People should know that, hey, dad, mom, and people should know that brother, that sister, above anything and everything else, they are going to follow Jesus Christ. Everyone else must take a lower position, a prominence in our life. But Jesus Christ must have the preeminence. Are you this morning a disciple of Jesus Christ? You see, when there is a conflict or there is a decision to be made, when there is a tug in our heart and we know clearly what Christ wants us to do, there's always that battle. Do I follow my family? Do I follow the wants and wishes of those that I love? Or do I follow Jesus Christ? That is the decision. And folks, the must of discipleship is that we must follow Christ. I want you to go on and look in Luke chapter 14 and look what it says in verse number 27. Notice what it says here. It says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now think of this just for a moment. Here is what I believe the second part of the must of discipleship. The Bible says if you are not willing to forsake your family and houses and lands, and if you are not willing to follow Christ, if you are not willing to do that, you cannot be His disciple. You cannot. You cannot. But the second part of this is, if you are not willing to take up your cross and follow Him, you cannot be His disciples. Now, I have heard people say before, well, Pastor, my wife, she is my cross to bear in life. Or my husband is my cross to bear. Or this sickness or this illness is my cross to bear. That is not your cross. Your cross is not some physical suffering or some hardship in life. Your cross is not a difficult marriage. It is not difficult children. That is not a cross. Let's take our Bibles and let's find out what this cross really is. Philippians chapter number 2. Would you turn there this morning? Philippians chapter number 2. Now may God help us this morning. By the way, you say, Pastor, why do you preach a message like this? Because I want to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. I mean that with all my heart. I told my wife, we prayed right before we came in here, and I said, honey, I pray God will deal with us to where He will show us what is keeping us from being a true disciple, a true follower of Jesus Christ. I don't know your life. I don't know what's going on in your heart. I don't know. I am not to judge you and whether you are a true follower. But I wonder what the Holy Spirit will put His finger on in our life and say, you know what? Unless you give that up, you cannot be my disciple. You know what? Sometimes it's not necessarily a sinful thing that we are holding on to. It is something that is hindering us from being a true follower of Jesus Christ. What is this cross? And if the Lord said, if you are not willing to take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple, then what does that mean? Philippians chapter 2, let's begin in verse number 1 and notice what the Bible says. It says this, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Now notice what it says. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, here it is, even the death of the cross. Now let's stop and let's understand this. If we identify the cross with Christ, then we see something. We see that Christ emptied himself on Calvary. Now think about it just for a moment. Jesus bore his cross to Calvary. There he laid aside his rights. I mean, he's God. And yet Jesus humbled himself. He let men spit upon him. He let men mock him and speak unspeakable things to the Son of God. And yet he bore that cross. He bore it. What was the cross? It was the Father's will for Jesus. It was a place of submission. It was a place of yielding himself. It was a place of not his rights and him being exalted. It was dying to himself. It was emptying himself. It was saying, Lord, I give everything to thee. I die to my everything. I mean, listen, the cross that day on the cross was not a beautiful sight. We see it as beautiful. We see it as something sacred and holy because we understand the cross. But it was not beautiful that day. It wasn't. It was gory. It was something almost of that day that we would turn our heads and not want to look upon that day. The billows of God's wrath rode upon Jesus on the cross as he bore the sin debt of the whole world. But Jesus bore his cross. It was a cross of shame. It was a cross of rejection. It was a cross where he died to himself and he emptied himself. And may I say to you that we cannot be the disciple of Jesus unless we are willing to die to ourselves, our rights, our wants, our privileges, to die to all of that and to say, Lord, I am willing to bear your reproach. I'm willing to bear your shame. I am willing to do this so that I may follow after you. You see, all throughout the Bible, I've said to you that many times people said, I'm not going that far. I'm not going that far. In fact, do you know the day they came to take the Lord Jesus that all the disciples forsook him and fled? They all did. You know why? In fact, we think about Peter. Peter was standing afar off and watching all of this. Jesus had already told Peter, Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me. And Peter said, I'm not doing it, Lord. Everyone else may deny you, but not me. But you know what happened? The Bible says that they said, aren't you one of him? And your speech betrayeth you. You talk like one of him. And he cursed. He brought back that old sailor language from his days of being lost in Christ. And he knew he had to speak like an old sailor or they would identify him with Jesus. And he said, I know not the man. And the eyes of Jesus met the eyes of Peter. You know what? He was not willing to bear his cross. Folks, today, can I ask you something? Are you willing to look, in a sense, to this world like a fool, that you may be a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you, in a sense, willing on your job site for others to recognize and to acknowledge that you're a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to bear his reproach? Are you willing to give of yourself and empty yourself and say, it doesn't matter if I'm ever noticed or recognized or ever exalted or praised, I will follow Jesus Christ? Because I'm going to tell you something. In our hearts, you know what we really want? We want to be recognized. We want to be praised. We want to be thought so well of. But Jesus made himself of no reputation. You see, this means that we are pouring ourselves out for our Savior. This means that we are dying to ourselves. And if you are not willing to bear your cross, if you're not willing to take the cross of shame and the cross of reproach for the name of Jesus Christ, if you're not willing to give yourself willingly, then you cannot be his disciple. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know how people have treated me. Then how did people treat Jesus? You say, Pastor, when I've took a stand for the Lord, it's cost me something. Think what it cost our Savior. You say, well, Pastor, people have mistreated me in the Christian faith, and people, even Christians, have not treated me right. Think how his own followers treated the Son of God. You see, there is no painless way to follow Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as a crossless Christianity. You know what we want? We want Christianity without the cross. We do. We want Christianity. We think people will think well of us and lift us up and exalt us. But the must of discipleship is you must bear your cross. May I say to you, so often we think this world revolves around us sometimes. We judge things by how they affect us and our families and our lives. That attitude is not the attitude of a disciple. The attitude of a disciple is that he is willing to bear his cross. He is willing to suffer the pain, the shame, the agony, the reproach. Why? Because he is dying to himself or herself. And he or she is following Jesus. Number one, we notice the must of discipleship. But number two, we notice the mission of the Lord. Now go back to Luke chapter 14 because I want to show you what he goes on to talk about. Now, by the way, another greatly misunderstood passage in the Bible is what I'm getting ready to read to you in just a moment. Some people think that when Jesus talks about the builder and the captain or the warrior, that he's talking about, well, that foolish man, he didn't have enough money, he didn't count the cost and all that. That's not what that's referring to. Can I tell you what this is referring to? It is the mission of our Lord. The mission of our Savior. Christ is here talking about His mission. Folks, let me tell you this. The Lord is doing a work in this world here today. He is doing a work. It's not for me to figure out what I want to do with my life. It's to figure out how that I can follow what Jesus is doing here in this world. He is working. He is reaching and bringing people to Himself. And the mission of the Lord. This deals with discipleship. Let's read on. Luke chapter 14, and look in verse number 28. It says of this, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Listen, the ideal here is if you are a builder, you don't want a crew of lazy men working for you. You'll never get anything done. You'll never finish the task. But if you are a captain in an army, if you're a warrior, and you are leading an army against the enemy, I'm going to tell you what you don't want. You don't want soldiers who will whine and cry and who will quit in the midst of the battle. That's what Jesus is saying. You know what He's saying? He is saying, listen, I am a builder. By the way, Jesus said about this church and about any church, He said, this church, He said, I will build my church. And He's the builder. And He is saying, listen, if I'm going to have people that follow after me, that are my disciples, they have got to be men and women who will forsake themselves. They have got to be men and women who will be true followers of me. They are not going to be people who are lazy and people that are not willing to pay the price. Jesus is also recognizing Himself as the great captain. And you know what He is saying here? He is saying, I'm warring against the enemy. By the way, do you know that we're in a spiritual warfare and our captain is Jesus Christ? He's our captain. We are following after Him. He is warring against the devil. He is warring against the enemy who is spreading falsehood, who is spreading his lies among this world. He is the God of this world, and He is blinding the minds and the hearts of people, lest they believe, lest they receive the gospel. So guess what? He is the great captain. And God, tell you something, if you want to follow Jesus, if you want to be a part of His great army, if you want to be a part of what He is doing, He is not going to take people who whine and cry and murmur and complain. He wants believers and followers who will endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. They are willing to deal with the battles that are coming against them. Folks, you see today, the Lord turned and He looked at that multitude and He said to them, there is coming an hour, a time of great conflict, a time of great decision. And if you are not willing to choose me over your wife and over your husband and over your brother and sisters and mom and dad, if you're not willing to follow me above them, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot. You see, folks, the must of discipleship, but the mission of our Lord. Folks, today, can I ask you something? Do you want to be a part of what the Lord is doing in this world? Do you want to help build what He is building? By the way, sometimes I think we're all about our ideal, what we have desires to do, our thoughts, our plans. But listen, we need to come in tune with what God is doing in this world. And that requires discipleship. It requires that we take up our cross. It requires that we choose Jesus above our family and friends and houses and lands, and we choose Christ above all of that. The mission of our Lord. Brethren, today, We come, I want you to look at verse number 33, and I want you to see this. Look at Luke 14, 33 again. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all. Well, that's a big word, isn't it? All that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. I want to tell you something. This verse causes me to wonder about really who is a true follower of Jesus Christ. Today, are you his follower? Are you his disciple? Number three, the last thing that we notice here today is not only do we see the must of discipleship, we see the mission of our Lord, but number three, we see this, the men who hear him. Now let's read on in Luke chapter 14 because I don't want you to miss this. Look in verse 34. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? You know that we are the salt of the earth, but have we lost our savor? Have we lost our holiness, our righteousness? Have we lost that? Verse 35, it is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. And then notice what it says. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. How many has ever said something to your ladies? How many has ever said something to your husband before? And you know that God has gifted him with real physical ears. And they work. But you know that sometimes when you talk to him, he hadn't heard a thing you said, all right? How many would raise your hand and hold it up high? Men, I want you to look around. This is a time of revival, all right? How many parents here would say, you have spoken to your kids. You know they have great hearing because they hear when dinner is called, all right? They know that. But you speak to them sometimes and you know there's darkness there, all right? There's void, you know, outer space. They're not hearing what you said. Would you raise your hand? All right. That's just a little bit of what this is talking about. Because sometimes we hear, but we really don't want to hear. I mean, we hear it. And the Bible says, let him that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is not saying, look, if you're deaf, then this doesn't apply to you. He is saying, do you have spiritual hearing? Do you have a hearing heart that says, I want to listen to that? By the way, what if the doctor said to you, listen to me closely, listen to me. What if the doctor said, listen to me now, I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to do. If you don't do this, your life will not continue. You've got just a few weeks to live, but if you will do this, you will live. Would you listen to him? I would. I say, Doctor, hey, look, I'm going to record it. I'm going to write it down. I don't want to miss what you're saying because I want to do it. But how often do we hear preaching and, you know, it's good, preacher, thank you. But we don't hear it because we don't want to hear it. Oh, no, we don't say that out loud. But we are not willing to bear the cross. We are not really a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know what? We have a great church here and we are blessed here. But I'm afraid sometimes because of our blessing, we lose sight of the must of discipleship. We lose sight of the price, the cost that really it means. Jesus, I mean, looking at all those people, did he love those people? Sure he did. Did he care for those people? Yes. Did he care for their families and their marriages? Yes. Did he want them to love one another and take care of one another? Yes. But he was saying to them, I want you to know something. You can't be my disciple unless you meet the conditions. You see, the men who hear him. By the way, let's read on because it gives us a great picture. Look in chapter 15 and verse 1. Then, I love that, then drew near unto him. Would you notice who drew near to Jesus? All the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now you say, well, wait a minute. Did they not hear him? Yeah, they heard him. But they drew near to hear him more. Now I want you to know something. Every time I preach, there comes a then. Every time God speaks to your heart, there is a then. Then. You either draw near to Him or you say, that's good, but not for me. I'm not going that far. I'm not selling out to Jesus. I'm happy the way I am, Pastor. Lord, I love You, but I'm happy. You see, you notice who drew near to Him? It wasn't the scribes. It wasn't the Pharisees. It wasn't the ones that people thought so well of. It was the publicans. It was the sinners. It was the downcast. They drew near to Jesus. They said, we want what You have. We will follow You. We know that in and of ourselves, we are nothing and we can do nothing with ourselves. But we know that You are everything. And they drew near to Him to hear Him. You know what they said? They said, Lord, we need help. We need guidance. Lord, we cannot follow You unless we are knowing You and loving You. They drew near. Look in verse 2 of Luke chapter 15. And the Pharisees and scribes, look what they did, murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Can I tell you something? Every time in life, God speaks to you and the Word of God is given, there's always these two different types of response. And there is no middle ground, no middle ground. You are either a part of the publicans and the sinners because you recognize what you are. You recognize that without Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. You say in your heart, I want Him. I desire Him. And I am nothing of myself. And I'm going to give Him everything. I draw near to hear Him. Or you're the Pharisees. You're the scribes and you murmur. You complain. You say, I'll find another way. That's too much. That's too much for me. That's too much for me to give up. Folks, today, the truth is many of us are just kidding ourselves if we think that we are really following Jesus Christ. We're just kidding ourselves. If we are going to build with Him, if we are going to battle with Him, we must take up the cross. We must deny ourselves. When the choice between if we're going to follow family, if we're going to live for family, or we're going to live for Jesus, we must live for Jesus Christ. Today, the question comes to me. I don't know about you, but the question I must answer today, am I a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Today, I'm praying that if you are here, and first, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that today you will draw near and accept Jesus as your personal Savior. But I'm praying for you. You may have been in this church for 30, 40 years, but just because you come to this church does not mean that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that. That multitude, that throng of people, Jesus said, some of you will not be My disciple. And I'm going to tell you something. God in His love wants every one of you to be His follower and His disciple. Do you know that the Lord has no favorites? The Lord doesn't say, you cannot be My disciple because I don't like you. Or you cannot be My disciple because you're not a spiritual other. Oh, no, He doesn't do that. You know what He says? He says, come and follow Me. Come. Come. I love it that those publicans and sinners, everybody knew they were sinners. Everybody knew it. But you know what? They were humble enough to admit their need of Jesus, and then they drew near. I'm going to ask you, right now is the then. It's the then. We're here. Will you draw near and hear Him? You say, Pastor, I can deal with God at home. I understand, but not like the Lord's dealing with you now. Pastor, I can stay in my seat. Can I say this to you? I believe real disciples and followers of Jesus Christ are willing to leave their seat to make them to identify themselves that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Listen, I need men in this church and women and teenagers in this church that will say, I will be a follower of Jesus Christ. Are you one of them? Let's bow our heads in prayer.